swirls of red and white, a handprint and an impression of a face. 360 pictures. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and 360 pictures present. Species, The Awakening. Ben Cross as Tom Hollander, Helena Mattson as Miranda Hollander, Dominic Keating as Forbes Maguire. Marlene Favola as Azura, Megan Fay as Celeste, Roger Cudney as Leland Fisk, Marco Bacuzzi as Rinaldo. A large stone building surrounded by trees. Inside, an ornate staircase is bathed in the light from the oval window above. A tall blonde woman, Miranda, walks up the stairs. She's in her 20s, wearing a smart dark suit and open white shirt, with her long hair tied back in a ponytail. Later, she gives a lecture to some students.
For the gods keep the secrets of life hidden from humans. Men did, however, figure out one secret, how to use fire. And Zeus punished them with the worst thing he could think of. Something so terrible, the writer Hesiod called it the source of all mortal suffering. Any guess what punishment he came up with?
Some kind of disease?
No.
War?
Nope.
Fire, floods, drought?
None of those. For their punishment, Zeus gave them women.
Parker University. Miranda leaves the building. Directed by Nick Lyon. Miranda walks into a large hall containing the skeleton of a dinosaur.
Hello? Uncle Tom?
Back here, in my office.
She walks through a back room containing more dinosaur bones and other artifacts. Behind this is a small office. Inside, a tall middle-aged man with short dark hair, Tom, is examining a fossil.
Hey. So what's today's experiment?
Biosynthesis. There are extinct plant cell walls in this fossil. Crinoids, a type of echinoderm. The mature crinoids artificially resemble flowers. Hence the name?
Sea lily.
Very good. You know, theoretically, I could use the molecular genetic material to create a whole new breed of crinoid.
Isn't that a little unnatural?
Yeah. But interesting, right? You seem distracted. Is everything all right?
It's Oxford. They called me again this morning. But I can't go to England and leave you here. You're the only family I've got.
She kisses him on the cheek.
I'll see you later. I have another class.
It's night outside a large two-story house. Inside, Miranda comes down the stairs wearing a long pink dress, adjusting her earrings. She walks into the candlelit kitchen, where Tom is cooking, a tea towel draped over his shoulder.
Hey, Uncle Tom. What are you cooking?
A fabulous red wine sauce. I hope you're hungry.
Tempting, but I have a date. You should already be here.
As far as going to England is concerned, you're too talented for this little town.
Oh, but I thought we already settled that.
But what if I came with you?
Really?
You're bright. You deserve it. And anyway, I'm getting a little homesick. It'll do us both good.
I don't know what to say.
She gives him a hug.
In cases like that, it's better to say nothing. A toast.
He pours them both a glass of wine.
To your future.
And to Oxford. Oh, that must be him. Don't wait up.
She kisses him affectionately.
And thank you.
Get out of here, have fun.
She walks out, and Tom looks down sadly. The next morning, it's still relatively dark as a man goes for a run by the side of a lake. He's tall, dark-haired, and in his mid-30s. He pauses to catch his breath. Suddenly, he spots the naked body of a woman lying on the ground, her blonde hair spilling over the grass. He rolls the woman over. It's Miranda.
Miss.
Her skin is pale and blotchy.
Jesus Christ.
He runs off. In his kitchen, Tom blends some juice, pours it into a glass, and takes a long gulp. He checks his watch, and a look of concern crosses his face.
Miranda?
He picks up his keys and goes to the foot of the stairs.
Hey, Miranda, come on, we're going to be late.
He waits for a response, then makes his way slowly up the stairs to Miranda's room.
Miranda, come on, you...
Her room is empty. At the hospital, two orderlies bring Miranda in on a stretcher. Miranda flashbacks to the previous night.
Uncle Tom?
I hope you're hungry.
Don't think, but I have a date.
You're bright. Your future.
She remembers kissing a man in a car, then him backing away from her. In the hospital.
I need you to give him your name. What's your name?
Miranda. Hollander.
In Tom's office.
Hollander.
His eyes open wide in alarm. He puts the phone down and runs outside. Downtown at the hospital, Miranda is laid out underneath an X-ray machine. Down the corridor, the operator and a doctor are examining her X-rays and writing notes on clipboards. The doctor is tall, in his 50s, while the other man is bulky with dark, receding hair.
These blood levels can't be right.
Miranda's eyes are closed and she's breathing calmly. The doctor looks carefully at an X-ray of her skull.
These aren't human.
We shot them. That's how they came out.
Yeah, right. Nice try. Stop screwing me, go do the X-ray.
He throws in the X-ray dismissively.
Okay, you're the boss.
The doctor shakes his head as the X-ray operator walks out and goes back to the room where Miranda is lying.
Just stay still and relax, man. You just need to shoot another X-ray.
He adjusts the machine, then walks back behind a glass partition. Miranda's body arches violently. The operator is looking at his equipment and doesn't notice her body trembling, the veins sticking out from her skin like great welts. The operator is still preoccupied when her shadow looms up behind him. Hearing the noise, the operator turns slowly till he's face to face with a green-skinned humanoid creature. Its tongue lashes out. The giant proboscis hits him in the chest, blood spurting over the walls. The creature looks up, the skin on its pointed head like a hard carapace covered in nodules. Tom speeds to the hospital in his car. He pulls up outside the main doors and runs inside. Upstairs, a woman wearing a white lab coat approaches the X-ray room, where the operator lies dead.
Edward, what kind of joke is this?
She sees the body, a long black spike sticking from its chest. She runs down the corridor. But the creature appears behind her. It lashes its snake-like tongue through the back of the woman's head and out through one of her eyes. Other members of staff run in terror. They scurry past Tom, who comes upon the body of the female doctor. He holds his clenched fist to his mouth and walks gingerly past the corpse, a pool of blood welling from its eye. He spots another body lying in a doorway, and yet more in the room beyond. He cups his mouth in horror. Some bodies have been impaled by a large black spike. Tom follows a trail of blood down the corridor. The bloody footprints lead across white floor tiles to a room where Miranda lays naked in the corner. Tom runs over to her. He feels her neck for a pulse, then unzips a small medical kit. He takes out a syringe and injects some fluid into the black veins on her arm. Gradually, the veins' black color fades and her skin becomes clear. She stirs. Tom sighs with relief. Downstairs, he takes her outside, wrapped in his jacket.
What's going on?
Just get in the car, Miranda.
He bundles her into the car and runs to the driver's seat. He races down a suburban street back to their house. Once he gets home, he bolts upstairs, throws a case on the bed, and stuffs some clothes inside. He opens a drawer and takes out a brown hardback book. Then he jumps back in the car and drives away at top speed. Later, they're driving through some high mountains. The rocks are covered in green bushes and scrub.
Understand. When are you gonna tell me what's going on?
We're going to Mexico.
Mexico? Why?
Well, it's beautiful down there. Haven't you always wanted to see it?
Is it the police you're afraid of?
Yeah.
Whatever happened at the hospital, I had nothing to do with it. Right? Are you saying I killed those people?
Yes. And no.
Yes and no? What are you not telling me?
Sick. And I can't help you.
Sick? But what?
I wish I knew.
But, Uncle Tom, if I'm sick, shouldn't I go see a doctor in the United States?
No. They can't help you either.
Why not?
Suddenly, he swings the car off the road onto the grass verge and skids to a halt.
We're going to Mexico to find someone named Forbes. He's an old colleague of mine from the university. I was his professor. Though sometimes I wondered whether it wasn't him teaching me. He was brilliant. Crazy, but brilliant. I haven't seen him in years because I didn't want to have anything more to do with him. But he's the only one that can, that might be able to help you, Miranda. I tried. But I guess I failed.
Tom takes off his seatbelt and climbs out. He wanders away across the grass. Miranda watches him for a moment, then gets out, her blue hospital robe falling down around her shoulder. Tom leans against the fence post, looking solemn and concerned.
Tell me.
I didn't always work with fossils, Miranda. I always wanted to tell you the truth, I just didn't know how.
The truth about what?
Forbes and I made you. In our lab. As part of a project we were working on. I tried to keep it from you, I just wanted you to have a normal life.
No.
There were these DNA strands. From somewhere else. Sent to us. I mean, to Earth. We mixed those DNA strands with human genes. Experimented with a new kind of life. You were one of the results. But it was wrong. So I walked away from it. But I didn't want anything to happen to you. So I took you with me. And raised you as best I could as a normal human being. You were all that mattered to me, Miranda.
You're lying.
Not this time, Miranda. What about your parents? Do you really remember them?
My mother was your sister.
No. I'm an only child. They never existed. All your childhood memories were one big story I told you when you were young, again and again till you believed it. You only think you remember.
Miranda looks shocked and upset. A tear falls from her eye. She turns away from Tom.
I lied until you stopped asking me where you came from. Until you believed we were just two normal, happy human beings.
He takes her by the shoulder and turns her towards him. She looks at him accusingly, a pained expression on her face.
I'm sorry. I am so terribly sorry.
He takes her in his arms. Scrubland. As the sun sets over the mountains, the car's headlights move through the dusk, past the silhouettes of cacti. They arrive in a small town, and Tom turns into a hotel forecourt. Upstairs, their suitcases open on the bed, while Miranda's in the bathroom.
So why would Forbes live in Mexico?
I guess some people come down here to disappear.
Why did you two have a falling out over anyway?
Well, let's just say we didn't see eye to eye. I thought what we were doing was immoral. He didn't.
Miranda sees purple veins standing out on her shoulder.
He's abusing the project.
Uncle Tom?
He steps into the bathroom and she shows him her skin. Tom takes out a syringe and taps it gently.
What's that?
Human hormones. I've been administering them to you while you slept. Just two or three times a year to keep the alien side of your biology from surfacing.
He wipes the inside of her elbow.
But ever since you got sick...
He injects her. She winces a little.
They don't seem to work as well.
So what exactly is wrong with me?
I wish I knew. It could be an infection, a toxic reaction of some sort. Whatever it is, I don't know enough about your biology to cure it. Forbes is the one who designed you, so he's the only one who might be able to help.
She looks at her shoulder again. Slowly, the colour in the veins is fading.
It's going down.
Yeah, for now.
Sunrise. Tom's car glides along a plain of scrubland, a small white fence running along the highway.
You're a mixture of human and alien DNA. A highly functional hybrid. You can soak up a body of knowledge like no human can. I didn't teach you anything, Miranda.
She shakes her head. Tom reaches into the back seat behind her and pulls out the brown hardback book.
This look familiar?
Of course. It's the complete works of Shakespeare. I read this 100 times.
You've never opened that book in your whole life.
That's not possible.
Okay. You know nothing about cars, right?
Right. So what?
He pulls a car manual out of the glove compartment.
Take this. Close your eyes.
She does as she's told, holding the manual firmly in her hands. She opens her eyes.
You know that clicking noise you have? You should switch to a higher octane gas. That's why...
He shakes his head and smiles ruefully.
That's why you get the metallic tapping sound.
She throws the manual down, frustrated and confused. The sun sets over the mountains, and the car is making its way through traffic on the highway. Miranda leans on the window, looking at the lights outside. The town of Alkithar. They go into another hotel. At reception, a man wearing a cowboy hat watches as they check in.
If you sign here, sir. Your key, señorita. Enjoy.
I'm looking for an American who lives down here, the name of Forbes McGuire.
I'm not familiar with this gentleman. Perhaps I can make some inquiries.
Thank you, I'd appreciate it.
The man with the cowboy hat has been listening intently. In the morning, the sun rises over the water towers and palm trees. Cars start moving through the streets. In the hotel, Tom loads a cartridge of fluid into the syringe and places it next to a row of other cartridges in a large case. Miranda is asleep behind him. She stirs as he puts on his jacket.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to find Forbes.
He sits down beside her.
Why don't you stay in and rest? I filled the syringe with hormones. If the rash gets worse while I'm gone, inject it.
She nods.
I'll see you later.
He kisses her on the cheek and leaves. Outside, he goes up to a man by a newsagent's stall.
Perdón, señor.
Sí, dígame.
¿Conoces a este hombre?
Aquí. No,
señor. No?
Tom walks away, tapping the photo of Maguire against his hand. A woman wearing a nun's veil is watching him. Tom walks down a side street and approaches some kids playing football.
Hey, niño. ¿Conoces a este hombre aquí?
He shows the boy the photo. The boy shakes his head.
No. Okay, gracias.
The boy kicks the ball over Tom's head. Tom turns and wags his finger at him. When he looks back, the ball has been stopped by the woman in the nun's outfit. Her eyes are pale blue and snake-like. She bares her teeth, and a forked tongue writhes in her mouth. Both Tom and the boys take to their heels. The nun leaps into the air and lands on top of a high building. Tom flees down the street. Above him, the nun vaults through the air and lands on another roof. Tom runs frantically down a side road. The nun stalks him across the rooftops and jumps down in front of him. Her forehead is covered in deep grooves. Tom looks round desperately, bolts through a metal door, and up some stairs. The nun comes into the courtyard below him. He vaults over some railings and runs up a metal staircase onto the roof of a complex of flats. The nun's tongue shoots out and wraps around his leg. He grabs hold of a TV aerial. A police car pulls up beside the nun. Her tongue whips back into her mouth. She lowers her eyes, bows her head, and walks away down the street. Tom sits on the roof, breathing a sigh of relief. Later, Tom hurries through the town. The man with a cowboy hat from the hotel is reading a magazine by a newsagent's stall. He's tall, in his late 50s, and wears a large gold ring. Tom is distracted and bumps into him accidentally.
Hold on there, fellow. Where's the fire?
See, I know you. Leela Ann Fisk, San Antonio, Texas. Same hotel.
Hey, how'd you like to go for a drink?
No, no, thank you.
Oh, come on. Come on, I'm buying. Yeah.
Look, I heard you back at the hotel. Asking that Calderon feller about finding a certain somebody? Well, I'll tell you something. Unless you give him a bribe, he ain't gonna do nothing. No, that's the way it is with these Mexicans. They play dumb until you play ball. Now, you seem like a right nice feller, so I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna cut through all that bull, and I'm gonna hook you right up. What are you getting at? You want to know how to find Forbes, huh? I'm going to tell you. Now, at midnight, you go down to the Square of the Blessed Maiden. There'll be a taxi cab there. You wait till he flashes his light.
Tom crosses the deserted square towards the yellow taxi cab.
Then you go over and you get in the back seat of the taxi. Any business you have with Forbes, you put it in an envelope and you give it to the driver.
I'm looking for Forbes McGuire.
In the taxi, Tom hands the driver an envelope and the car moves off. A tall brunette in leather watches them go from a doorway bathed in red light. Her eyes are pale blue. It's the woman who was dressed as a nun. The taxi pulls into a large garage space full of battered cars and stops. Tom looks around nervously.
Hey, where are we? Is this where he lives? I'm a friend of Forbes. I just want to talk to him. Hey, buddy, are you listening to me?
The driver turns. The driver opens his mouth, and another grotesque head oozes out of it, a long tongue flicking from jaws lined with sharp teeth. Tom darts sideways just as the tongue whips forward and smashes through the back windscreen. Tom jumps out, but the driver races around the car and tries to bar his way. The tongue lashes out again, but Tom escapes over the roofs of the cars. The driver gives chase, but Tom rolls over a bonnet onto the ground. Tom tips some crates onto the creature, then hides in the shadows. The creature gets up and looks around. The creature's head is bald and human-looking, but with lines of small nodules on the skin. It looks into the shadows. The creature's head whips round, following the sound. Its eyes are pale blue with tiny irises. Slowly, it staggers over to some old cars parked at the back. Its legs cast a long shadow in the light from the door. The creature kneels down and looks under a car. But there's nothing there. It rises slowly to its feet. Tom plows the yellow taxi straight into the creature, slamming it against the wall. Yellow gunk drips from the creature's mouth. Tom climbs out as the creature starts to lift its head. Its legs are trapped between the car bonnet and the wall. Tom grabs a fuel can and douses the creature in petrol. Tom walks away, leaving a trail of petrol behind him. The creature struggles to free itself. Tom lights a blowtorch and sets fire to the fuel. The creature is consumed by flames. Tom covers his mouth with the back of his hand. In his hotel bathroom.
Do not hasten to bid me adieu. Just remember that Red River Valley and the fella who loves you so true.
Tom storms through the hotel corridors.
Hold on, I'm coming. Hold you goddamn horses, I said I'm coming.
Fisk picks up his gun from the bedside cabinet and holds it behind his back as he goes to the door.
Oh, you don't look so good.
God damn you. You set me up, you son of a bitch.
Now you just hold on there.
No. Yeah. Now, I don't care who put you up to it, but God help me, I'm not leaving here until you tell me where I find Ford. Right now.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think you're tough enough to be telling me what to do in my own hotel room. You are trespassing.
Put the gun down.
It's Miranda.
Oh, looky here.
Oh, is that your new bodyguard, huh?
Put it down. Oh, now.
Oh, I'm so scared. I'm scared.
Miranda's eyes turn pale blue. Miranda and Tom emerge from the hotel room. Miranda rubs her arm while Fisk flails on the floor behind them. Tom drives Miranda to a warehouse on a deserted side street.
That cowboy better not be setting us up again.
Inside, the room is barely lit and full of junk.
What is this place? He can't be here.
Listen.
Miranda leads Tom past some electronic circuit boards covered in wires.
Whoever's here, they're behind this door.
Yeah, but how do we get in?
Miranda approaches the door. The lock is made up of a small metal box next to a keypad. She takes hold of the box. She presses the numbers on the keypad. The door opens onto a room with a pool table. Miranda and Tom hear the voices and move into the room. It's lined with cages containing mice. There are computers and monitor screens. Miranda looks through into the next room and sees a naked woman straddling a man in bed. The woman slaps the man across the face.
Oh, McGuire!
What the? Holy shit!
McGuire gets up from the bed wearing his boxer shorts.
I don't believe it! As I live and breathe, Tom Hollander!
Why did you try to have me killed?
Eh? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the nun. You know, the one with the tentacles? And your friend, the cab driver?
Okay, man. I do not know what you're talking about.
You haven't changed, have you?
Oh. Hi, sweetheart.
Maguire takes Miranda's hand.
Forbes Maguire.
He kisses her hand.
We met somewhere before. By the boys. How'd you two get in anyhow?
You left that a keypad for us.
Maguire looks at them curiously. He has brown hair and a goatee beard.
Oh, my God. We have met before. You're G178.
Her name's Miranda.
Whatever. She's gorgeous.
Maguire's partner approaches.
Right. everyone, this is Azura. Azura is my director of community relations.
We've already met. This was your nun.
Azura puts her hands together as if in prayer.
Oh, for God's sakes, Azura. Listen, Tom, I'm really sorry, mate. I had no idea you were here. That's because no one tells me anything anymore. It's the trouble with these inferior models, you know. No complex thinking, love. Absolutely no high intellectual functioning. But this one... Come on, sweetheart. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I hold advanced degrees in biochemistry, comparative literature and classics.
Well, well, well. Tom Hollander. You sly old fox, huh? I mean, come on. Frankenstein builds some stumbling drunk with a couple of bolts through his forehead. Another bloke at Caltech wins tenure for getting a robot to peel an orange. And you come up with this. The holy grail of every man's
dream. Azura stares at Miranda. Miranda sees images of snake-like eyes and the creature's exoskeletons. Her eyes roll upwards and she falls to the floor.
What the?
Miranda. Miranda.
What's happening to her?
She's sick. That's the only reason we're here.
Miranda trembles violently. Ben picks her up in his arms, and Maguire leads him to a laboratory.
Put her up there. We'll need an IV line of 50 cc's of hormones.
Oh, no shit. Look, I do know what I'm doing, okay? Now keep an eye on her blood pressure. We need to stabilize our human hormone levels. Quick. Come on, sweetie.
Purple veins start to bulge from Miranda's neck. She looks up into the bright spotlight above her. Later, she's lying on a bed, eyes closed. The tube from a drip containing a blue solution runs underneath her hair. Maguire is looking through a microscope.
You're playing with fire, you know that?
Look, I dabble, okay? You know, once in a while I try something out. For Christ's sakes, if I can really make someone's dream come true by giving them back a dead relative or whatever, then why not?
Because it's not their dead relative. It may look like them, but they're half alien. Do your clients even know that?
They don't need to. I'm telling you, these things are safe. The alien side almost never comes out. I've worked out most of the kinks.
What about your cab driver?
Look, who knows, you know? Random behavior. So, okay, there's been one or two mistakes, you know, things I never should have made. And admittedly, you know, one or two of those mistakes might have escaped into town, but they're unstable. They die off in a month or two. Look, it's cool. Trust me.
What's wrong with Miranda? Any ideas?
Fear.
So what is it? What does she have?
Old age.
Come again?
Mortality, mate. You know, there's nothing actually wrong with her. She's just reached the end of her lifespan.
Her? Are you crazy? Look at her.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? She's young, she's beautiful, and soon she's gonna die.
How long? I mean, you know, until...
Soon. I know. Today. Maybe tomorrow.
Tom looks down at Miranda and strokes her shoulder gently. In Maguire's rec room...
Well, I could try making you another one. Might not be as smart.
Whatever you might think, Miranda's a human being.
Well, then tell her the truth, eh?
Tell her she's gonna die. I mean, isn't that what being a human being's all about?
What about Azura? What are you gonna do when she dies? Don't you care about her?
Hell no. Just pop out another one. Blonde, probably. Green eyes and a tan. I mean, come on, mate. That's the beauty of all this.
No.
Well, look, all right, then don't tell her. You know, after all, you lied to her in the first place about what she really was. Was that because you respected her as a human being? Or was it just a convenient way of keeping things in control? Shit, mate. Don't listen to me. What do I know? I mean, look at me. Look at this place down here. I'm the one who should have died off a long time ago. I tell you, between me and the gatepost, I kind of hope one of these buggers polishes me off someday.
Tom walks away. Azura has been listening to their conversation. She blows out a plume of cigarette smoke and eyes Maguire intently. Back in the lab, Miranda is conscious again.
Miranda, I raised you as my niece, but I love you like my daughter.
Maguire listens at the door.
Unfortunately, there's nothing he can do. And I just want you to know, I'm truly sorry.
He kisses her hand. Maguire walks away. Tom strokes Miranda's hair.
There's something I want to see.
Your name.
A church is silhouetted in the setting sun. Tom and Miranda walk through the dimly lit interior.
I don't know if I'm human or not, or if I have a soul or not, but whatever I've done, I have to settle it.
They sit before the altar. A giant red cross stands in front of a painting of the Virgin Mary.
Look, Miranda, whatever you want to do, we'll do. Wherever you want to go, we'll go.
I'd like to be back home.
Of course. But...
And go to the police there.
The police?
I killed people in that hospital. I need to take responsibility for that.
Miranda.
Even if I don't make it home, I have to try.
Tom nods and takes her in his arms. They hug each other tightly. Maguire comes into the church behind them.
Oh. Group hug? Come on, you two. Come with me.
He looks round the church and does a mock shiver. Tom and Miranda follow him outside, passing a fresco of the Virgin looking up to heaven. In Maguire's lab...
Okay. So there is one way to extend Miranda's life.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
Because it requires ending someone else's.
They stare at Maguire.
No way. I won't be a party to a murder.
You won't get caught, right? You know, people disappear around here all the time. Nobody asks too many questions. You've got to try and think of it as a genetic transplant. You know, a complete infusion of living, healthy hybrid cells. Miranda, it's the only way for you to go on.
It's immoral.
Immoral? Give me a break. This town is full of scumbags. Cheats, liars, murderers, rapists, you name it. We take one of those guys off the street. Hell, we're doing a public service.
That's not the point. I'm not a killer.
Back at the hotel, Miranda sits at the dressing table, twirling the syringe round with her fingers. Tom comes up behind her and rubs her shoulder affectionately.
There must be another way. something else we can try.
He picks up his medical kit and bag.
You have to let me accept this. I've had a good life. Mostly because of you. So have you thought about what you'll do afterwards? Forbes is a lost soul, living in a pit of misery. Maybe you should help him. Is there nothing good that could come out of this?
I told you. I want nothing more to do with this technology.
So you'd leave him here? And go back to working in a museum? Can you honestly tell me you've been satisfied working with things that have been dead for thousands of years? Uncle, don't you miss your true scientific work?
You are my true scientific work.
Miranda puts down the syringe and gets up. She goes into the bathroom and shuts the door. She looks at herself in the mirror and sees the purple veins starting to appear on her skin. She lowers the strap of her dress and watches her shoulder break out in purple blotches. Suddenly, her neck arches back and the veins appear across her entire chest. In the bedroom, Tom looks up from his suitcase.
Miranda?
He finds Miranda lying on the floor of the bathroom. Later, his car pulls up outside Maguire's warehouse.
Hey, right here, mate.
They carry Miranda into the lab.
Get her on the table, clamp her down and make it quick. We need to get a sedative inside her before she fully turns.
Turns?
Yeah, she's fighting for her life. And that's when the less attractive, but very, very strong side comes out.
Maguire injects Miranda and her back arches. Tom holds her as she starts to shake and quiver. Her body relaxes.
Okay, that'll stabilize her for a little while. But we need to do a human graft soon, or we'll definitely lose her. Now go out and get me a donor. I need a female, and bring her back alive.
Me? You want me to...
Yeah, it's time to get your hands dirty.
Tom looks at Miranda anxiously.
Do you want to save her or not? Go!
Tom zooms off in his car. He drives slowly through the deserted streets and parks in the road lined with other vehicles. He sits pensively in the driver's seat, watching the road outside. He sees a figure walking on the other side of the street. The figure approaches and crosses the road in front of him. It's a middle-aged Hispanic woman laden with bags. Tom climbs out of the car and follows her. The woman walks along the dimly lit street and enters a building, closing the door behind her. Tom pauses and leans against the wall. Inside, the woman makes her way up the stairs. Tom moves off down the road. He finds himself in a crowded thoroughfare, people milling around the outdoor food stalls. There are groups of young women and men wearing cowboy hats. He notices a young blonde woman standing with her back to him at one of the stalls. Suddenly, his eye is caught by a scantily clad brunette storming out of a bar. The brunette trips as she exits the bar. She walks off down the street. But when she turns round, she catches Tom staring at her and smiles seductively. Tom follows her. The woman goes down a side street into a building. Men are chatting and drinking bottles of beer outside, and there's red light within. Tom crosses to the doorway, looks around, and steps inside. The neon sign on the side of the building shows a bull's head above the words, La Faena. Inside, Tom stands at the bar. The brunette is dancing amongst a group of people on the other side of the club. He loses sight of her in the crowd. Suddenly, she appears at his shoulder and whispers in his ear. He turns to face her.
Maybe.
Do you want to dance?
Sure.
He slugs down his drink, and she leads him onto the dance floor. She twirls around, swaying her hips seductively. She wraps an arm round his neck and pulls his face close to hers. Then, she takes his hand and pulls him away from the other dancers. They go behind the stage and into a corridor. She pushes him against the wall and kisses him passionately.
Should we go somewhere else? I know a place.
Do me here.
She leads him behind a curtain and into a deserted room. She pushes him back onto a locker and kisses him, pressing up against his body. But then, she reaches down into the tiny handbag hanging around her shoulder and produces a gun.
Turn around!
What? No, hey!
Turn around!
He puts up his hands and turns around. She reaches in his pockets.
You're kidding!
Pervert! Brick.
I don't believe this. You're robbing me?
No. Where do you want it? One on the leg or two in the ass?
Suddenly, Azura appears behind the woman. Azura punches the woman in the face and knocks her to the floor.
Stop wasting time. Let's take her and go.
Tom and Azura prop the woman up between them and carry her along the street.
Come on, let's get you home. He had a little too much tonight.
They drag her into the warehouse.
What? Who are you, Prince? Where am I? Oh, you let me go! Let me go!
Shut up!
You're about to be harvested.
In the lab, Miranda is laid out on the bed, eyes closed, a network of veins crisscrossing her skin. The kidnapped woman lies on another bed next to her. The woman stirs, and her eyes open. She looks round in alarm, and struggles against her bonds. Tom watches horrified from the observation window as Azura stands over the woman with a syringe.
Por favor, please let me go! Please, please! Why? Por qué? Let me go!
Azura's eyes turn pale blue, and she inserts the needle in the woman's arm. Later, Azura watches as Tom and Maguire work in a sealed-off lab wearing protective suits. The kidnapped woman lies in a kind of orange chrysalis. Large, vein-like structures twist round its surface. Miranda's naked body also lies in the chrysalis, while the kidnapped woman's eyes stare out of its transparent shell. Tom and Maguire check their instruments.
First off, we're going to impregnate Colette with alien DNA. Time to go fishing.
Oh, God.
Hey, no worries, mate. She won't feel a thing.
This is monstrous.
Fertilization achieved.
A syringe withdraws from the chrysalis.
Now, the trick here is injecting the stem cells at just the right point in their evolution. In other words, now.
The syringe extends and punctures the chrysalis wall. Tom watches a computer screen showing the cells multiplying in Miranda's body.
Oh, I've forgotten how fast this thing went.
Miranda stirs in the chrysalis. Suddenly, her body starts to jerk and shake.
Hey, what's happening?
The cells are infusing all over her body.
Well, that can't be good.
Both the women in the chrysalis shudder violently.
Come on, you're killing her!
Vital signs critical!
Now stop this! Stop it now!
Hey! It's done, dude! It's out of my control!
One last spasm rocks Miranda's body before her head falls forward and she's still. The side of the chrysalis starts to bulge as Miranda pushes her head against it. She flops out naked onto the floor, covered in gooey liquid. She sits up and looks around her. Tom and Maguire run into the lab. Maguire helps Miranda to her feet, but she hurls him through the observation window.
Oh, crap.
Miranda, easy. It's me. Come on, Miranda. Come on, it's me. It's okay. You're all right now. Come on.
He takes her hand and leads her out of the room. Later, she wakes on the bed in the lab, the spotlight shining down on her. Tom is standing over her, holding some red roses.
Two bloody geniuses. That's where.
Guess what? You're all better now.
But how did you...
Stem cells, baby. Yeah, drink some water.
Azura comes in.
Temperature's normal. Blood pressure's excellent. All systems are going.
I don't know how to thank you.
Hey, look what I found for you.
He hands her a large book.
Ovid's Metamorphoses. I never thought I'd read Latin again.
Intellectual functions appear present.
Well, the Metamorphoses is about people getting changed into other creatures. Your idea of a joke?
She slams the book shut and dumps it on the floor. Tom looks nervously at Maguire as Miranda sits up.
Yeah, well, then again, we haven't heard her conjugate any Greek verbs yet.
Try me. I'll give you all the tenses. Past, present, future, subjunctive.
What have we done, mate?
Miranda smiles.
Okay, I'll stop. Just let me do one thing.
What's that?
She turns to Azura.
Fuck this girl here.
She stares at Azura hungrily. Tom looks at Maguire in alarm. Then turns back to Miranda.
Miranda, what are you talking about?
Miranda pads up to Azura and looks over her body.
Your director of community relations.
Miranda circles her, examining her with admiration.
Let me fuck her.
Okay, Azura, love, there's something I wanted to talk to you about outside. Just come with me, babe.
Miranda, are you feeling okay?
Never better. So, where to? We can't go home, right? Police are probably looking for me.
She takes off her medical robe and slips her dress over her naked body. Tom turns his back.
I thought you wanted to talk to them. Face up to the whole thing.
Why? So I can rot in jail? What's the point of extending my life if I can't enjoy it?
She puts on a necklace.
Regardless, I think it might be a good idea to go back to the hotel. You need some rest.
Rest? I'm not tired. I'm going to go live. Experience things. So what do you say? We grab one of Forbes' bottles of top shelf tequila and get naked.
Hey, hey. Hmm? Come on, what are you talking about?
Oh, come on. I know the truth now. You're not my real uncle.
She comes close to him, pawing his face. She runs her hands over his shoulders, but he grabs her wrists.
No. No, Miranda, no.
He pushes her away.
Fine. Fuck you, then.
She smiles and walks out. Tom is looking through a microscope in the lab. Maguire comes into the room behind him.
What's up?
Is this some perverted stunt of yours? What the hell have you done to her?
I extended her life, just like you asked me to. You know, there might be one or two glitches.
Have you seen her blood cells? It's chaos. She's not stabilizing. We've got to do something. Another transfusion. More stem cells.
That won't help.
That woman's here to pick up the dog.
Azure is carrying a fluffy poodle.
Look, hang on a sec, mate. God's sake. Azure!
They walk out and Tom puts his head in his hands. Miranda walks into the dingy street outside. Maguire looks at a security monitor and sees there's a middle-aged blonde woman waiting outside the building. He opens the large metal outer door.
You got the money? Lady?
Yes, yes. Here's the money.
Release form.
He makes her sign a clipboard. Then Azura hands the poodle over.
Actually, it's a fucking alien facsimile. You might want to remember that.
The woman kisses the dog on the nose. Back inside, Maguire hurries to the lab.
Hey, man, I'm sorry about that. Had a bit of business to take.
Miranda?
The lab is empty. Tom comes running down the stairs.
Miranda! She's gone. You hear? She's gone. I gotta find her. She's sick.
She's not just sick, she's dangerous.
I don't care.
Listen, mate, if you're gonna go, at least take this.
What the hell is that?
Hydrochloride acid. No, it won't kill her, but it might slow her down. This dosage, on the other hand.
I'm not gonna kill her. I'm gonna find her, bring her back here, refine the hormones, temper the mixture, and get her back to what she was.
Dude, do not underestimate these things.
Stand out of my way! This is your fault, Maguire. You always did sloppy work.
Listen, Tom, I'm telling you. She's got no human imperative anymore. She's pure creature. She'll most likely be pregnant before nightfall. In 2 weeks, this entire town will be overrun.
She's sterile. I took care of that a long time ago.
I wouldn't count on it. With her new stem cells, there's no telling what she might do. We've got to kill her. Face it, Tom. She's not human. She's not your little girl anymore. If you weren't so obsessed, you'd see that.
Tom walks away from him.
Look, mate, if you won't kill her, then we have to bring her back here. Wait, Tom, let me help you.
Do what you want.
I'm telling you, you can't stop her alone. You're gonna get yourself killed.
Miranda.
Outside.
Miranda.
A full moon hangs in the night sky. In town at the Hotel Naciones, where Tom and Miranda were staying, the receptionist, Calderon, brings a tray over to his desk holding a pot of coffee and a mug. He pours himself a drink and is about to sip it when he spots someone come into the lobby. Miranda walks past him.
Señorita, may I do something for you?
She walks behind the desk. She pulls down her dress, exposing her breasts.
I must ask you to... by yourself, señorita.
She swishes her long blonde hair.
It's okay. I know. You're like me. I knew from the beginning.
She cocks her head to one side. In her mind, she sees images of the alien species. Deep in his eyes appears the vision of two alien creatures squirming against each other. A lizard-like tongue extends from Miranda's mouth and shoots through Calderon's head. In her mind, one creature claws at the other and overwhelms it. Miranda retracts her tongue. She leaves Calderon propped up against the wall as she puts her dress back on. She takes a slug of his coffee. Tom goes to the church he visited with Miranda earlier.
Miranda?
The interior is bathed in the light of hundreds of candles.
Miranda?
Something zips past him in the shadows. He turns sharply, but nobody's there. He continues walking towards the altar. A hand clamps on his shoulder.
Señor!
A black spike sticks out of the priest's chest. He crumples to the floor. Behind him, Tom sees Azura, licking her lips, her pale blue eyes shining. In town, Miranda walks through the crowded streets. She spots a bar on the other side of the street called Los Angeles. She crosses towards it. Inside the neon-lit interior, a woman is dancing and singing on stage, accompanied by a band of musicians. Miranda watches the singer intently. Back at the church, Azura advances on Tom.
Where's Miranda?
Long spines extend from the back of Azura's wrists. She whirls one like a sword across Tom's face, catapulting him backwards.
Everything was fine until you two showed up.
I should have killed you in the alley!
Azura swings at Tom, but he holds up a Bible and the book is impaled on her spike. She throws the book down.
Not so good, you humans.
She picks him up off the ground and hurls him across the church. He crashes into the altar table. He lies stiffly, wincing in pain, as she advances across the room, spines extended.
You don't have to do this.
Genesis 20. Behold, thou art but a dead man.
Tom spots a chalice lying next to him and hurls it at the pulley wheel through which the huge crucifix is held upright. The rope unfurls and the cross comes crashing down on Azura. The heavy crucifix lies across Azura's crushed body. Tom gets up and sighs deeply. He staggers away, holding his wounded left arm across his chest, passing the alien corpse as he goes outside. Back in the Los Angeles club, the singer, a tall, long-haired brunette wearing a revealing red cocktail dress, sashays backstage to her dressing room. There's a big star on the door and the name Rosella de Leon. Inside, she takes off her earrings and looks at herself admiringly in the mirror. Miranda comes in.
Get the
Es aquí, Kiwara, quien te dejó pasar.
Your dress. I want it.
You want my dress?
Yeah. Take it off.
You know what? Got a better idea. Why don't you better get out of here right now, bitch?
Miranda's eyes glow blue and her pointed tongue flicks out of her mouth.
Oh, you mean my dress?
Miranda goes back into the bar wearing the red dress. She threads through the couples on the dance floor. A young Hispanic man is dancing with a brunette when he spots Miranda. He leaves his partner standing, takes Miranda by the hand, twirls her round, and waggles his tongue by her ear. He wiggles his shoulders ecstatically as she circles round him, stroking his shoulder. She leans over the back of his neck and licks his ear with her long lizard tongue. The tongue shoots out and smashes through his skull. He rolls over dead on the floor. People run for the doors as Miranda's eyes grow pale and grooves appear in her forehead. A truck pulls up with McGuire at the wheel.
A monster! He killed my compadre!
Oh, crap! Where'd she go? The monster! Donde esta?
Over there!
Right.
McGuire drives off. Miranda walks down a deserted road and over towards a wire fence. McGuire spots her from the truck.
There you go.
Miranda walks past a pile of rubbish and through some plastic sheeting into the space behind the wire fence. McGuire pulls up in the road outside.
Hey, guys.
He climbs out of the truck and runs up to the opening in the fence.
Miranda? Miranda?
He goes through the fence and enters an empty warehouse building. There is a pile of tangled wires on the floor and a shattered brick wall in the center of the room. Miranda glides past unseen in the distance. McGuire looks up sharply. Miranda appears behind him, great bony ridges crossing her forehead. She advances slowly. McGuire becomes aware of her presence and twists his head to one side while keeping his back to her.
If the innkeeper was one of mine, then he was sterile. Otherwise you'd be pregnant by now.
Turn around.
He turns to face her. She peels off her red dress. Her breasts are covered in a cluster of purple veins. She stands before him naked.
You have wanted to fuck me since the moment we met.
She stands next to him and strokes his face. McGuire stealthily pulls a syringe from his trouser pocket. But Miranda grabs his wrist and squeezes. The syringe drops to the floor. Tom parks his car in the deserted street and leans his head on the steering wheel. Tom starts, but it's only a man wheeling a trolley across the road. He sighs and slumps back in his seat. Back in the warehouse, Miranda stands behind McGuire and pulls off his jacket. He stands still as she circles round to face him. She lifts up his arms and tears off his t-shirt. She strokes his neck seductively, then kneels down and starts to undo his belt. McGuire blinks. Miranda's eyes are now pale blue, and there are deep gashes down the sides of her forehead. Maguire is now down to his boxer shorts. She pushes him back onto a pile of wires. She kneels over him and wrenches off his shorts. As she straddles him, she sees herself as the creature, back arched, green skin glistening. Maguire grins as she thrusts down on him. Miranda stops moving and looks down at Maguire. Her whole body starts to transform. Her hair becomes a web of tentacles that solidify into a domed head. Her skin hardens, and her backbone extends out of it to make a set of jagged spines. She leans down over Maguire's face as if to kiss him. Suddenly, the tongue shoots into his mouth. His body jerks and falls back motionless. The creature looks down at her prey and smiles, cocking her head to one side. She remains perched on top of him, pressing her groin against his. Meanwhile, in the church, Azura revives. Her eyes roll around in their sockets. Slowly, she heaves the crucifix off her body. Tom parks his car next to the warehouse building. He looks over at the open wire fence. The place seems completely deserted. Inside, he finds Maguire's bloody corpse lying on the pile of wires. Tom spots the red dress lying in a heap on the floor. He picks it up and looks round warily.
Miranda?
He runs across the empty space, over to where Miranda is lying naked on the floor, curled up on her side. He kneels over her. She stirs briefly, but her head rolls back, eyes closed. Tom looks at her belly. It's bulging and moving. Tom pauses, a look of concern on his face. Gingerly, he reaches out to touch her belly. Tom jerks his hand away. He puts Miranda in the passenger seat of the car and drives back to Maguire's warehouse. Miranda is lying on the bed in the lab, the spotlight blazing down on her. Her face is covered in blue and purple veins. Tom runs an ultrasound probe across her belly. On the monitor, he sees a larval body with the head of a humanoid child. Miranda's eyes open and she looks around.
It's okay. It's okay.
Her body arches violently. Her belly ripples and bulges.
Hang in there.
The human side of me is dying. I don't want what's left. It's over. You know what you've got to do.
Suddenly, the room is plunged into darkness. An alarm light flickers across the lab. Tom goes to the cabinet where Maguire stored his rifle. He loads the gun with bullets and steps out of the lab. He jumps and aims the gun into the shadows, but the room seems to be deserted. Slowly, he walks into the outer corridor. He turns towards the sound, holding the gun out in front of him. Something is watching him from the rafters. Suddenly, he feels liquid drip onto his head. He wipes the side of his face and finds the liquid is thick and sticky. He looks up just as a long tongue snakes out and trips him to the floor. He fires into the rafters. The creature darts across the roof beams. Tom walks forward cautiously, unable to see any sign of the creature. In the lab, Miranda's back arches and her belly bulges, black veins standing out on its surface. Tom walks through a large open passageway near the stairs. The emergency lighting flickers, picking out the figure of the creature squatting on a concrete beam high above the floor. Tom is unwittingly standing right beneath it. The creature leaps down behind him, snatches his gun away, and clamps its hand round his throat. It lifts him bodily off the floor, then hurls him into some barrels. Tom lies dazed as the creature approaches, but suddenly its physiognomy starts to change. Its domed head dissolves into tentacles that become dark hair. Tom finds himself looking at Azura. Huge spikes extend from her wrist, but another creature crouches above her. Its tongue lashes out. There's a black spike in the back of Azura's head. She turns and looks up, and the two creatures face each other. The second creature, Miranda, leaps several meters to the floor below. Azura has now returned to her alien form. The two of them prepare to duel. Miranda spits out three short spikes which fly through the air and pierce Azura's chest. But Azura rips them from her body and raises her arms in defiance. The spikes protruding from her wrists cross like swords over her head. She runs at Miranda, but Miranda leaps up onto a crossbeam, then somersaults through the air to land behind Azura. Azura swings her spikes and advances. The two combatants circle each other warily. Azura swings at Miranda, but Miranda blocks her, somersaulting backwards and kicking Azura into a wall. Azura lies still in the rubble. Miranda walks forward warily. She darts her tongue into Azura's chest and then looks back towards Tom. Tom looks terrified as Miranda approaches. He's still lying among the heap of barrels. He shakes his head. Suddenly, Miranda's body stiffens and two great spikes thrust out through her belly. Azura has crept up and impaled Miranda with her talons. She retracts them, and Miranda's body crumples to the floor, transforming back into human form. Azura looks down at the two punctures in Miranda's belly, oozing yellow goo. The same fluid drips from Miranda's lips. Miranda moves slightly. Tom grabs his gun. A barrage of pellets streams from the gun and blasts into Azura's chest. She is blown backwards and falls down through a circular atrium till she hits some debris many meters below in human form. Upstairs, Miranda lies motionless, her eyes open and staring. Tom raises his gun and walks over to the atrium. Tom looks down and sees Azura's body sprawled on some panels far below. He grimaces in pain and clutches his chest. He walks back over to where Miranda is lying and kneels down beside her. She stirs slightly.
Thanks for giving me life.
Her head lolls to one side and she remains still. Tom hangs his head in his hands.
You're right, Miranda. You were always right.
He looks over at some acetylene tanks in the corner. He gets up painfully. He walks over and turns the valves on top of the acetylene tanks. Then, he takes one last look at Miranda's body before going off inside. He stumbles into Maguire's rec room and turns on the gas oven. Then, he uses a match to light a Bunsen burner. He leaves it on a blue flame and wanders out of the building. The building erupts in flame. Outside, Tom pauses to watch the explosion. Tom bows his head and walks away. Audio description by ITFC.